Once again, we'll be looking at the fifth commandment, which technically is Exodus 20, verse 12. That will be our text, but then we'll also see it in light of some of these other passages that we have read this afternoon. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, why should children honor their parents? Why should children honor their parents? Well, the answer to that is pretty simple. Children must obey parents, and the parents must insist on obedience and respect because God says so. It's a simple enough reason. God commands it. And yet, quite clearly, it is a command that is not being followed. It's not being regarded by our culture. I don't really even have to say that, but that is the case, but that is what we see. Many historians believe that a significant shift in bad attitudes toward authority took place in the 1960s. It was the decade of the anti-establishment. Young people were anti-business, anti-government, anti-military, and anti-school. But the institutions that came under attack, perhaps the most significant of all of these, was the family. Annie Gottlieb is one of many who identify the 60s as the generation that destroyed the American family. And she writes, "We might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We would get our hands on it. And we believe that the family was the foundation of the state as well as the collective state of mind. We truly believed," she says, "that the family had to be torn apart to free love, which alone could heal the damage done when the atom was split to release energy. And the first step was to tear ourselves free from our parents." What makes this author's analysis so chilling is the connection she does draw between the family and the state. She's right, the way to destroy a nation is to destroy the family. And the way children can destroy the family is by disobeying their parents. And of course, that's not all. It goes on. There's an ethicist in Princeton University who argues that old people ought to be euthanized because they spend over half of the half of our healthcare resources on the last 6 months of their lives. And so at a certain point, this person argues, we ought to automatically euthanize them so that they don't drain the economy. That's the culture that we live in, and you know it very well. But over against the drift of modern thinking, the Word of God in the fifth commandment is open to us, both to young and old. In the Lord's tender care for His children, He tells us to honor our father and our mother. In the Lord's tender care for us, He adds the promise to this obedience to the command, which is to lead a long life on the earth. And so we'll consider this commandment this afternoon with three questions. The third one is not listed in the bulletin. First of all, why is this commandment given? Secondly, how should children honor their parents? And then lastly, what limits your obedience to your parents and other authorities? First of all, why is this commandment given? What is fundamentally behind it? Well, perhaps we could ask another question by asking another question. Where is this commandment placed in the law? Well, as you know, with the Ten Commandments, there are two parts to it. There's the first table, the first four commandments, which tell us how we are to love God and our neighbor, or how to love God, rather. And then the last six, the second side of the table, is how we're to love our neighbor. Obviously, our human relationships can't be separated from our relationship to the Lord. You can never say that you can't love your neighbor apart from loving the Lord your God, But there is a distinction, there's a separation that we find within the Ten Commandments. The first four having to do with loving the Lord, while the last six tell us to love our neighbor. But we can't keep those last six commandments apart from keeping the first four. In other words, you can't love your neighbor unless you truly love and worship the Lord. Loving the Lord is foundational to all the other commandments. So why has the Lord given us this commandment in telling us how to love our neighbor? It's the very first one. There's a reason for it. It's because when God tells us how we're to treat one another, He starts with who? With families. He starts with the home. Loving our neighbor starts at home. Under ordinary circumstances, the first people a child knows are his parents. Because the home is really the building block of society. As one writer put it, God intends the family to be our first hospital. God intends the family to be our first school and our first government. If we do not respect authority at home, we will not respect it anywhere else. Love really does begin at home. And therefore, love needs to be in the home. What is love? What is love in a Christian home? Well, love has to be many things. Love is nurture. Love is obedience to parents. Love is discipline, correction. This is everything that a home should be. Discipline needs to be there. But discipline, of course, can't be losing your cool. Right? When parents lose their tempers and yell at their kids and strike them in anger, we can't expect children to respect those parents. But parents who have learned to exercise self-control and obedience to the Lord as they discipline their children, they can confidently expect their children to obey. And of course, children having that responsibility of bearing patiently with their shortcomings and weaknesses, since the Lord calls us to do this. So parenting is to involve discipline. But it's not just discipline. Love is not just discipline. There are other things besides proper discipline. We're called to pray for them. We're to encourage them. We're to protect them. We're to counsel them. We're to set a godly example, an example that they're able to imitate. When they see us, they're able to copy us. They're able to imitate our actions. We're called to educate our children, preparing them for life's work, including marriage and parenting, all, of course, by the providence of God. And most of all, if parents are to love their children, then they're to teach them the Scriptures and to lead them in the worship of the Lord. God has given this commandment first in order then that the home would be the place of nurturing and love. And that's why this commandment has been given. But there's another reason why the Lord gives this command. It's because everyone, without exception, is part of a family. Everyone alive is part of a family. All our children who are here today, children you're sitting beside your parents, and you're able to look up at them, and you can see that this is the person who the Lord has put in your life. In normal situations, a little child will very easily look up to his parents, thinking the very best of them. That feeling doesn't always last. As children grow older, they realize that their parents have faults. And how they deal with those faults, we'll get to later on in this message. But they are your parents, and they provide the care for you, and including a number of things. home, food, clothing, and schooling, as long as necessary, until the day comes when children become old enough to provide for themselves. And even there, there can be that occasional loan for education or for buying a house. The commandment specifically says both father and mother. The Old Testament doesn't have a generic word for parents. You don't get that until you come into the New Testament. It's always father and mother. And we can be thankful for that, that the law makes a very deliberate mention of both. Very deliberate mention of even the mother. Because the mother is to be treated with the same kind of respect as the father. Even though she might be, physically speaking, the weaker parent in that relationship. She may be less able to enforce her word. She is to be shown equal honor. Equal honor is to be given to both father and mother. Why should we honor our parents? Is it only because they care for us? Or is it because they're flesh and blood? Well, think about that as well, because there's some weight to this. There's always a natural relationship toward someone's father and mother. Jesus called this a natural love. In Matthew 5, he said, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same?" John Calvin says, without God having to speak a word to us, nature already shows us the child's natural duty toward his father and his mother. The Bible explains, as we read in Lord's Day 29, a summary of what the Bible says, it pleases God to govern us by their hand. God himself decreed who would be our parents. And there's a sovereign aspect to the place that God has given us under our parents. They are a decree of God. And that's what it means to please God to rule us by their hand. In order to appreciate this rich blessing, think of how difficult it would be for us to have no parents at all. Where would we be then? For one thing, we wouldn't be here. But neither would we be able to have any care. Sometimes you may hear young people wrongfully complaining to others, "I didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose my parents. I didn't ask them to be my parents." And it's true, you may not have had the choice in the matter of parents, but consider that God already knew who your parents would be beforehand. Something that He decreed. Then you should thank the Lord for that, because according to His will, they're called to direct your lives. Colossians 3, we read that. It says, "Children, obey your parents." And we read in Ephesians 6, in addition to that, "Obey your parents, children, because this is right." And that statement for "this is right" means this is the way it ought to be. This is how it should be. This is the natural way it should be. Paul wants to impress upon us that the fifth commandment does not require anything that is extraordinary or contrary to nature. It's common sense. Because under the direction of the Lord, every child born owes to his father and mother a debt that cannot be paid in this lifetime. Without them, they would not know the joys and the blessings of living. And so that kind of covers what we're talking about here, why this commandment is given. But we go on to a second question. Secondly, how should we honor our parents? Children are called to do that. And the word here, honor, is, it's not the first time that we find it in the Ten Commandments. With regard to God's name, there is an honor. It's the Hebrew word kabod, which means heavy. There's a reputation that God has which is heavy. It's weighty. And now God, when he speaks about children, or about parents, he says that children are to have an honor for their parents. That is, there's something weighty about this relationship that they have with their parents. The opposite of this would be to treat a parent or someone in authority as if their weightiness or authority was just light. Often we read in the Bible what was to happen to the son who cursed his father and his mother. In biblical terms, this is indecent and despicable. If a honor is not given to parents, then figuratively speaking, it's like a little child sticking out his tongue at his parents, as if he views them as nothing. However, it does not matter how society may stick out its tongue at authority. It doesn't matter if a church member may put down his elders. It doesn't matter how poorly a young person might think of his parents. All these things don't change the fact that the glory of parents remains. They are given that place of honor by God, even when parents can no longer function because of poor health. We must still continue to respect them and not euthanize them, as our society says, but honor them. For this is what God's word says, which does not change or fade away. There are several aspects of doing that, of honoring parents. Honoring means receiving instruction. It means receiving instruction. To honor is to listen. And listening, children, you're called to listen to your parents. That doesn't mean that you do what your parents say when you're good and ready to. Listening means hearing them and doing what they say. It means that children will take their parents' word to heart. It may not be possible for a mother to explain to a child why some things can't be touched, but the heart of the matter is a child who is told not to touch something like the wood stove, but goes ahead and does it anyway. His disobedience ends up burning him. Foolishness is something that has to be driven out of a child. Therefore, discipline is needed with instruction so that a child may go in the right way. Obedience has to come from the heart. It can't just be an obedience in a sullen and resentful way. The Lord says that children open their hearts to their parents. And so children, if your mom says to clean your room, what should your response be? Should you fuss? Complain? Not at all. According to God's word, you're to do that with gladness. For young people, this involves the advice that you receive. You honor your parents when you receive their advice. You honor your parents when you're willing to seek them out for advice. What's interesting is that if you consult the older commentaries on the fifth commandment, you will find repeated discussion about the task of parents with respect to choosing a marriage partner. Often today, there are conflicts between parents and children over marriage plans or regarding a certain person they want to be with. But young people, you can save yourself a lot of pain and trouble by seeking the wisdom of your parents with regard to a marriage partner. They're there to help you to make the right choice. And if they warn you about a certain person or don't approve of a certain person you're thinking of marrying, take that advice to heart. Obviously, that doesn't mean absolute parental control. Nowadays, at least in our own circles, we don't practice parents choosing marriage partners for their children. But they still have the right to be involved in that choice. If you think of how the Bible, especially Proverbs, describes how children are inexperienced and need the special guidance of their fathers, we can apply that in a concrete way, how fathers are to be involved in the choice of their children's marriages. And we say fathers because they're the heads of the home. We're thinking here in terms of guarding against mixed marriages and preventing a son who is looking for a marriage partner from a totally non-Christian background. Obviously, as well, it could be that a child has made a good choice which the parents have wrongly opposed. A son or daughter can go ahead with marriage arrangements if they are right before the Lord. But honor means respecting what your parents have to say. It also entails obeying them. There's to be respect, showing that deference towards parents. In the Bible, Rachel addressed her father as my Lord. Solomon, we read, as a young man, bowed down before his mother when he went to visit her. Now, perhaps we don't have those kind of formalities. Like in the South, it's very cultural for someone to say yes, sir, to his father. That's very cultural, and that's very respectful to do that. If you don't do that, that's considered disrespectful. But again, the Lord is looking at the heart, not just at the external ways of obeying. He's looking at the heart. Yes, there is that need for politeness and using good manners, like saying please and thank you. The externals are important, but so is the heart. And so we're talking here about respect to parents. We need to give some day-to-day examples. For example, a person who is consistently lippy or sassy in their speech to parents, or a person who is sullen every time he sits at the dinner table with an angry face, that person has a deep and moral spiritual problem. A person who can, without the slightest qualm of conscience, disobey parents has a deep moral and spiritual problem that needs to be dealt with. The Bible has a deep revulsion of that kind of disrespect, treating it almost with a kind of horror. In the Old Testament, there are two passages that speak that way. For example, Leviticus 20 says, if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Or think of the passage that we read from Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them, then he is to bring that child to the elders, the city gate, and then all the men in the town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it, we read, and be afraid. Now, that's obviously a penalty that doesn't apply to today for breaking this commandment. But it shows that God obviously considers dishonoring one's parents to be one of the worst sins that you could possibly commit. Because in the New Testament, disobedience to parents is listed as one of the signs that we're living in the last days, 1 Timothy 3 says. The problem is not just their lack of respect. The problem is their heart. And so, young people, if you're listening to this afternoon, and there's something that's in you that is like this, sassy, not respectful to your parents, take this to heart. Deal with that sin. Turn to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. And also, apologize to your parents. And know that the grace of God is offered freely to you in Christ. And so honor, therefore, is receiving instruction by obeying. It's also showing deference to parents. There's one more thing. Honor, furthermore, includes loving them. The Bible doesn't explicitly say that children must love their parents. It comes from the general rule for loving your neighbor as yourself. It's said, and rightly so, that many parents bend over backwards for their children. That's a very wonderful thing in the eyes of the Lord. The reverse is far more difficult, however, for children to bend over backwards for their parents. That doesn't happen easily. How long are you to honor your parents? Is there a cutoff point? No. We have to honor parents as long as they live, even when they grow old, possibly developing certain difficulties and problems. They deserve our respect. And yes, things do change over time. There is a difference in the way children obey their parents. For instance, a child needs to be spanked, needs to be disciplined if he doesn't listen and will not do as he's told. But a child grows older and corporal punishment is no longer advisable. It'll take some sanctified judgment on the part of parents and how they deal with their children. But children become more responsible as they get older, and ultimately they become independent and are responsible for their own lives. And they begin to earn their own living and take on more responsibility. And parents exercise their authority in a different way. When children do profession of faith, they become subject to other different forms of authority. They hold down their own jobs, or they move from their own homes. They, of course, can and should ask their parents for advice and help, but the time of obedience to parents has come to an end. But the command to honor never loses its validity. Otherwise, it's wrong. Honor involves being faithful. That especially comes in this whole area of when children are bedridden or become old. It's become less and less in our day a concern for the financial situation of a parent because of retirement benefits and different plans. It's very unlikely that people will die of poverty in their old age. Nursing care has become a great help, and we as Christians use this. We use this means. We use it wisely, but not in a way that ought to absolve our responsibility. But being faithful to parents still applies to matters like visiting parents and easing their loneliness, giving them that spiritual support from God's Word. That too is part of honoring parents. We have an obligation to help our parents in need. We have an obligation to care. This is an absolute non-negotiable. We can figure out the particulars of how this ought to work, but the fact is, honor is to be given to parents as long as they're alive. Now, is parental authority the only authority? There is other authority in this world besides parents, and that's what the Catechism alludes to as well. The Bible speaks about the authority of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ has given elders, ministers, those who are called to bring the Word of God under King Jesus. They have that calling to exercise discipline, to bring the word to bear by authoritatively preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and calling listeners to repentance, faith, and obedience. The church also has the authority to discipline members that King Jesus has put under her care, to admonish, to call to repentance, to excommunicate the unrepentant, and to restore the repentant. We could talk about other relationships where God governs us by those He places over us, like teachers at school or employers. The fifth commandment requires honor here as well. And then there's also the state, the government. Romans 13 says, Paul taught that the government authorities have been appointed by the Lord. They are ministers of God. Ministers that are responsible to Him. Now, in our culture, the government doesn't acknowledge that authority is from God. They think that authority comes from the people, from those who have elected them. And therefore they follow the voice of the people. And it seems at times that they follow only certain voices that fit their agenda. But when it comes down to it, God mandates them. He tells them how they are to rule. Something that those in authority don't realize. They ought to realize it, because that's what God's word says. And we need to realize that too. As Peter wrote, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. The authority and power they have from God. And those who resist government authorities resist the Lord. God governs us by the hand of those he puts over us. And if you reject the authority of parents, office bearers of the church, teachers, or civil governments, then you're rebelling against God. Or instead to bear patiently with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it pleases God to govern by their hand. But it leads us to the last question. Lastly, what limits our obedience to our parents and other authorities? Must children obey parents in everything? We're to always be obedient to our parents, but there are limits. They tell us to do something that is in conflict with the Word of God. We should refuse. We have to obey the Lord. And in the same way, a Christian may be required to withhold his obedience to the government. Our objective is to obey the Lord. That may mean that we lose our privileges under those who we serve. In essence, this is a question of what are the exceptions? And there are exceptions. There are abusive parents. There are parents that call on you to do things that are against God's word. There are those who have been extremely neglectful and incompetent. They may have actually abandoned you in one way or another. That's sinful. How do we deal respectfully in that situation? How do we uphold this commandment? Well, you're not to think that the failure of a parent alleviates all obligations on your part to think through this commandment carefully. Because if you write it off, you might say, they haven't dealt with me right, so I'm not going to deal with them anymore, that's not always right either. We read from Colossians 3, which says that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. That phrase, in the Lord, is important because it sets the limit. We must obey them in the Lord. They must be doing things quite wrong before we refuse to obey them. But that phrase, in the Lord, also tells us how the Lord Jesus obeyed. Consider Jesus for a moment, congregation. Jesus could have spotted the sins and faults of his own parents better than we can of our own. Furthermore, Jesus must have suffered under his parents more than we could ever have suffered under ours. Yet as young as he was, he did not dishonor them. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 2 that he was subject to them. Jesus had to manage honoring his parents in situations that were difficult, and yet he was patient under them. And that says a lot to us today in how we deal with those who are over us, who God has placed over us. And so how about you? Do you ever talk back to your parents, young people? Do you ever speak ill of your parents? Do you ever hide anything from them? Do you ever silently curse them? Do you ever talk well about your parents? Are you taking the time to strengthen your relationship with them? Are you giving them the care that they need and the honor that they deserve for their position in life? We all fail somewhere. And the fifth commandment is part of God's law, and like the rest of God's law, we have broken it. No child is perfect except Christ our Savior. He gave His life for us to wash us clean of our sin and guilt, including the breaking of the fifth commandment. Now, it's true, times have changed. Some would consider honoring those in authority old-fashioned, but the command has not changed. It rings with a promise to those who follow it, so that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That doesn't necessarily mean you will live a long life. It does, however, mean that the Lord will bless the lives of those who have respect for authority, which God has ordained. Anyone who honors his parents will receive benefits, benefits that apply to the here and now, but the benefits apply to the future in the life to come, because our citizenship is not attached to the land of Israel. Our citizenship is in heaven. The reward is both for today and the future. And so, congregation, how are you keeping this commandment? Honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Amen. We sing now.